house of the Lord this evening. Amen. Appreciate the Lord's presence. Appreciate His mercy and His grace. Amen. I thank the Lord for keeping us safe. Amen. Getting here, we went through a mess. Amen. It really rocks your nerves when you are on a road and it's storming and it's raining and it's windy and you're surrounded by trees. Amen. It really rocks your nerves, and that's where we were in. Going down the road, a tree fell, and then we tried to go back the other way, and there was another tree down. But thank God that there was a road open that we were able to get out from underneath all that. Amen. But I appreciate the Lord helping us and keeping us safe and bringing us here tonight. Sorry we were late. Amen. But we were in a mess. Amen. Amen. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife if she'll come and sing. But I appreciate everything this week. Amen. We've had a wonderful time. I've enjoyed myself, me and my wife, and I hope you have too. And I hate to see it end. This is Friday night, last night of revival. I know we're tired. I'm tired of my body, and my voice is hurting a little bit. Amen. But I believe God can help us tonight. Amen. Let's push forward, and let's get in here and worship God. Amen. Worship the Lord with her while she sings.
I was thinking about this song as I was coming in the church, and I was just thinking about God is our refuge. When we're out there in the midst of the storm, there's nowhere to turn, and we can't do anything in ourselves, and we just have to fully trust in God. And I thank Him that He got us here safely, but in the storms of life also, I can't rely on Leah, I can't rely on Brandon, but I know that I can trust in God, who will never leave me, and He'll never fail me. And I thank the Lord. Amen. God is my refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. For God is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do? When clouds of doubt hover over me, storms of life toss me to and fro, there is a place I can go. He's the shield through every tempest. He's an anchor that is sure in times like these. It's good to know, for God is my refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. For God, He is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do? Once I wandered from His shelter, up ahead I could not see those dark clouds so heavy with rain. Then the winds blew hard against me. I cried out and I ran to Him, and I never wandered again. For God is my refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. For God is my refuge. Without Him, what would I do? For God, He is our refuge. He's a strong and mighty
tower that we can run into, for God, He is our refuge. Without Him, what would we do?
Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, people in this world that are lost, they're looking for something to satisfy them. They're looking for something to find the hope in. And they're finding something that they can trust in that will never fail them. But the more they look and the more they seek, the more they'll be disappointed because they don't have God. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful that the only thing that we can hold on to that will never fail, amen, is God tonight. Amen. And I thank God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. But I'll be with you all the way to the end. Amen. If you have your Bibles, can you stand with me tonight? We're going to look in three different spots. We're going to look in 1 Samuel chapter 16, 2 Samuel chapter 2, and then 2 Samuel chapter 5. I know we've dealt with the Samuels here of late, amen. But I don't pick these messages, amen, but it's what the Lord gives me, amen. But I while you're turning there, I just want to say I appreciate everything this week. Appreciate all the ones that have backed this revival, all the ones that have come out. And even tonight in a stormy night, you've come out to the house of God, and I thank God for you. Amen. Amen. It's good to see everybody out tonight. It's good to have my family, all the home folk, all the visitors. Amen. I appreciate you being here. Amen. Appreciate your giving throughout this whole week. Amen. We have been blessed. And you just pray for us while we travel on. Amen. And we'll pray for you as well. Amen. But I appreciate all the ones that have come out every single night of this week. Amen. I know people have jobs and I know that things come up. But I'm glad that you've been here. I'm glad to see everybody tonight. Amen. And our prayer is that you can take these messages to heart. Amen. And remember them down the line. Amen. It's not because of Brandon preaching it. No. But it's because of what God has given. And these are God-ordained messages. Amen. Amen. And if you ever need a message, any of these messages down the road, don't ever think about how I preached it or anything like that. But just think about how God is so wonderful. Amen. And that God has given it. Amen. Before we read, let's ask the Lord to help us over the reading and preaching of His Word tonight. Asking Brother Danny if He'll lead us tonight.
Father God, as we come before You, God,
yes,
we pray.
God, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and privilege to be here.
We're
asking that You will help us right here, God. Anoint us, Lord.
Anoint hearts, God. Anoint minds, God. Anoint our ears.
Oh, fill God, my mouth and my mouth with the words that need to be said, God.
God, apply it to our lives.
Lord, pour out that anointing upon us tonight, God. Help us, Lord. Open up our hearts and our ears to Your word, God. Help us to be encouraged, God. Help us to be instructed tonight, God. Lord, we pray that You will help us around these altars tonight, God. We need Your prayers, we need Your glory, God. We're asking that You will touch us tonight, God. Oh, God, we need You tonight. Help us, God, in this place.
Lord God, let Your will be done, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We ask and we pray, God. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 16. Before we read, I just want to say I thank Brother Danny for having us and Pastor Danny and his family for having us this week. Appreciate them. Amen. Chapter 16, begin reading the verse 1. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Look down in verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly the look too. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord come upon David from that day forward. Amen. Now let's look over in chapter 2. Verse 1, and it says, and it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. Amen. Now let's look over in chapter 5. And there's a good bit of reading, but we'll tie it all together in a message. You stay with me. Verse number 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, that was he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. You may be seated tonight. If the Lord will help me and the Holy Ghost will anoint me for a little while tonight, I want to preach to you on the three anointings of David. The three anointings of David. Amen. One of the most remarkable events in the life of David is that he did receive three anointings. Amen. You don't find many people, and I don't believe there's probably anybody else in the scriptures, amen, that was received three anointings. Amen. Jesus may have received them. Amen. But David, just being a man, amen, he was the only one to receive three distinct anointings. Amen. He was anointed first when he was a boy. Amen. And he was anointed to be king over Israel after Saul failed to be king. He was given that post-dated anointing. He didn't become king right then there, but later down the road we read it in chapter 2 that he was anointed for the second time at 30 years of age, and he was declared king over Hebron. Amen. And then in chapter 5 we read that he was anointed again the third time, and he was declared king over all of Israel. Amen. Now these three anointings, they weren't just some ordinary anointings, but they served a purpose. Amen. They signify three different offices that people held in the Bible. Amen. And Jesus himself, being of the lineage of David, also had these three offices as well. Amen. Stay with me tonight. Oh, but I want us to first see how the Lord told Samuel. He said, I want you to now take that horn, and I want you to fill it once again with oil, and I want you to go and anoint me another king. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say, I thank God that whenever there's somebody that fails, when there's somebody that quit serving God, there's always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be a people that is still going to worship
of God, and that is still the certainty Almighty. I thank God, and I'm glad, and I'm part of that remnant. Amen. So I'm glad that he still says, fill up the horn. But he says, go and anoint David. And so he goes and he anoints David. But I want us to look at this anointing oil. This isn't just an ordinary anointing oil that you buy at the store. Oh, but this anointing oil is a special and a holy anointing oil. It contained 5 ingredients. It contained myrrh. It contained cinnamon. It contained calamus. It contained cassia, and it also contained olive oil. So 5 ingredients. And I said it the other night. 5 in the Bible represents the type of grace. And I say, hey, oh, only through the grace of God we can have and we can receive that holy anointing oil. It's only by his wonderful and precious and amazing grace that we can feel that anointing oil be poured out of the horn and out over our head and run down all the way to our feet. But I want us to look at some things that come with this anointing oil. Exodus chapter 30, where you will find the instructions for this anointing oil. He gives the ingredients and he goes through different things. But some things stuck out to me today while I was studying. And one of the things it said, and upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Preacher, I don't get it. It's got to be poured upon the head and rotten run down. It's got to be poured upon the flesh. But we've got to understand that what the writer was talking about and what they mean was that it was not poured upon just flesh, the old Adamic nature that we had. But what it was poured upon, you had to be saved and you had to be sanctified and you had to be set apart. And that's why, that's when you can receive that anointing oil. He said, don't pour it upon man's flesh. I want to let you know there's a generation out there today that says, hey, we proclaim to have that anointing. We proclaim to have the oil running down on Pontus. But yet we're not even saved. We're not even blood-bought. But he said, hey, you got to be washed and covered by the blood of Jesus. You got to be clean. You can't pour upon man's blood. It's raw. It's raw. But you got to be holy. You've got to be holy. You can't have it and not be saved. But yet there's people out there saying, yeah, I've got the anointing. Yeah, I'm preaching the word. But yet they're not even saved, Brother Dave. Oh, makes me sick. Makes me sick. But you can see the fruits that they bear. And you can see all they're doing is trying to lift up self-esteem. And all they're doing, they're just like a Joel Osteen who is only looking for to lift up people's emotions. But he ain't worried about getting them saved. Hallelujah. He can proclaim that he's anointed all he wants. But I doubt that he's even saved. I doubt that he's even blood-bought. I doubt that he's ever been washed in the blood of Jesus. As he said, hey, you better not pour upon man's flesh, but if you want to receive that holy anointing oil, you gotta be washed and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said also, neither shall you make any other like it. There's an imitation out there, my friend. There's people that proclaim to have the Holy Ghost. There's people out there that proclaim to have the anointing. There's a people out there, Yeah, you can talk in tongues. You can be taught to talk in tongues. Hallelujah. Yeah, but it ain't the real thing. And if you ever imitate the Holy Ghost, then you're playing on dangerous ground. God ain't pleased with you if you imitate the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And if you imitate the anointing, there's a people out there who are deceived, and then all they're doing is imitating. I gotta feel it here, and I want to let you know I don't need an imitation, but you give me the real, genuine experience of the anointing. All you let it be poured upon it, and I don't want no fake thing, but I want the real. They've got the imitation. When you start playing games with the Holy Ghost, you are stepping on dangerous ground. I don't see how people even, when they do all these things and they act like the Holy Ghost, I don't see how they're not feeling bad. I'm telling you, if it ain't blasphemy, it's sure borderline. And if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, that's the only sin that won't be forgiven. But yet there's people out there, bunch of mess, and all they're doing is feeding upon the flesh. They've got an imitation. But I say, oh, when I want a burger, I want genuine meat. When I want a steak, I don't want no plastic fake thing that kids play with. But I want a genuine steak. And when it comes to the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I don't want a fake thing. And I want the real and the genuine. Hallelujah. I want the horn to be filled up and poured upon me. I want the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Woo! And he said, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Let that sink in. That lets me know, hey, when there's people that have failed me, when there's people like Saul, hallelujah, that was ripped of his kingdom, hallelujah, that anointing oil is still real, and it's still alive, and it hasn't run out yet, hallelujah. In 2012, there's still an ample supply of the anointing oil. It hasn't run out yet, and I don't know how. That doesn't excite you tonight, but that excites me to know, hey, I can always trust in God and know that there is always going to be an ample supply of the Holy Ghost. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. Oh, she could none of book yet. He said, hallelujah. Come on, you better keep your mouths on the Lord tonight, church. He said, in the last days, I will pour up my spirit. I will fill that horn over and over again. And I will keep pouring out that genuine anointing oil. Hallelujah. I will keep pouring it out. And you can feel, hallelujah, an abundance of that anointing oil. And it's holy and righteous. Hallelujah. It's great and mighty and powerful. So David was anointed by this anointing oil. Can you imagine? I don't believe David could have just stood there and not move. I believe he had to do something. Because this wasn't something that I cook food with. This wasn't something that I buy at Food Lion. Oh, but what's pouring down upon my head and running down to the soles of my feet, it's holy and it's power and it does something to me. Hallelujah. Oh, It makes me want to move. It makes me want to worship God. It makes me want to live holy and sanctify. Hallelujah. I say, hey, I wonder, God, if we can get a fresh dose of the anointing oil here tonight. If we can feel His mighty presence in this house. I don't want to go on last night's anointing. Or on the night before, Brother Danny. But I tried to pray every time I get ready to preach. I say, Brother David, I say, Lord, anoint me with a fresh anointing. I don't want to live in yesterday. I'm telling you tonight, the days of old, the glory days, are not over yet. Because as long as that promise still holds today, as long as the Lord don't return that promise, and I don't believe He's going to, and He said in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I will let that anointing all, and you can feel it fresh every day. Preachers, you can feel it. You can feel fresh anointing all every time you sit behind a sacred air. You can feel the power of the anointing of the hallelujah of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how you're not getting excited about this. Let me move on. So that's the anointing oil. Now David received three anointings, and I better hurry before I get too long. This is my last night, so you better hold on. The anointing oil that he first received when he was a young boy. I know he was anointed king. Apostate anointing for when he got older. But that anointing that he received, it was first a prophetic anointing. Acts chapter 2 declares that David was a prophet. And David wrote many psalms in his youth and on up. And some of those psalms were prophetic of the soon coming Messiah. So we can see that after he received that anointing, it was a prophetic anointing. Ooh. Each one of these anointings, I need you to understand this. Jesus withheld all three. He held up all three of these anointings in all three offices. And him being the head of the church, he expects his body and every church that proclaims to be truth and proclaims to be saved, and every individual, he wants you to have all three of these anointings. So that first anointing is a prophetic anointing. Now prophecy is not only dealing with prophecy, but what a prophet deals with, he deals with the ministry of the word. Amen. He gets the word out. You don't have to be a prophet, you don't have to be a preacher to get the word out. But you can tell somebody about Jesus. And we can see it in David's life after he received that anointing. He went on that battlefield and he faced that Goliath. But he told Saul, he said, pretty much saying, don't worry about me, Saul, because I know who brought me out of the paw of the bear and out of the paw of the lion. And I know, hallelujah, he's going to help me bring down this uncircumcised Philistine. What he was doing, he was giving a testimony. He was letting that prophetic anointing flow. And he was telling them, hey, God is alive and well. The one you rejected and be the one that can save you. Amen. He got the testimony out. The witness said, hey, I know I'm 12 years old. I know I got a sling and 5 stones. And I know how big that giant is. But I won't even call him by his name. but I know who is going my side. Oh, I believe when he got to that battlefield, Brother Maven, he felt that anointing oil come over him again. He remembered that anointing oil that he really just the next following chapter, the chapter before, that he received of the Lord. I believe he remembered about that, and that prophetic anointing had come upon him, and he said, hey, if God be for me, who can be against me? I want to let you know, you got to let the prophetic anointing flow over your soul and over your life, and you can be a living testimony and a living witness for God. It deals with the ministry of gifts. Prophets in the old, not only did they prophesy, but they were used in different things, working on miracles. You can see it through the lives of Elisha and Elijah. They worked miracles because of that prophetic anointing. We need the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit in our lives and in our church. But how are we going to do it? You got to do what Paul said to Timothy. He says, stir up the gift of God. Ooh. Remember when the Lord saved you and poured over your head that prophetic anointing. Hallelujah. You got to stir up the gift that's on the inside. And you got to stir it up. And you can see miracles. You can see things happen. We can see something great in the power of God in this church. Oh, we got to stir up the gift.
Amen.
The gift of faith. The gift of wisdom and knowledge and miracles and go down the line. But David stirred them up. He needed faith. Can somebody say amen? I mean, anybody needs faith that they're going to go toe to toe with a bear with no gun and no weapon. Whew. But what did he do? He remembered that anointing oil. And he stirred up that gift that was on the inside, that gift of faith. When you're down and you're beat down and you're faced with a giant, you just need to stir up the gift, that prophetic anointing. You need to let it get a control over you, and you can stir it up, and you can bring down every giant that you face. Why? It's just through that prophetic anointing.
Amen.
It deals. It offers integrity. A prophet has to have integrity. They face a lot. They face the impossible. A preacher deals with the possibilities, but a prophet deals with the impossibilities. Yeah, it looked impossible when Saul was after his life. Yeah, it looked impossible. But old David, remember that anointing oil. Hallelujah. And he kept his integrity. That doesn't mean getting prideful. Can somebody say amen? Let me say that again. That doesn't mean you go around and you think you are the stuff. And you think you are the boss. That's not what it is. But you keep your integrity. You keep your boldness. You keep your humility. And you know, hey, as long as I stay holy, as long as I stay righteous, hallelujah, I'll just keep the prophetic anointing flowing over my soul. And I'll keep the integrity no matter what I face. And he was given now the second anointing. A couple years down the line, now he's declared king over just Hebron, 30 years of age, not old but age. And he received a second anointing. Now that anointing was the kingly anointing. Jesus was also a prophet, but he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, but he received that kingly anointing. I say, hey, oh, you better watch out, devil. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, the Muslims think, those stinking Muslims think, when Jesus comes back, they believe he's going to come back, but they believe he's going to come back and admit he was wrong. Oh, but I want to tell that Islam world, and then it reminds you that when Jesus steps out for his people, for his bride, he isn't coming back to admit he's wrong, but he's coming back saying, I am the King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I'm not dead and I'm not wrong, but I am the truth and I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has a kingly anointing. Hallelujah. And we can have it also. A kingly anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. My. You need to pray for me. I'm feeling too good for my body right now. I wish I could preach it how I'm feeling. But he received. Tell you, received that kingly anointing. What a king does, that kingly anointing offers authority. David took authority right when he became king. He took that authority. I remember the story about Casey Burnell. A lot of you heard it. The one that died in the Columbine shooting. Those two shooters went in there. They went in that lunchroom. And she was sitting underneath that table. And one of them come up to her with a gun pointed her in the face. Said, do you believe in God? Now I believe that at that time that kingly anointing come over her, Brother Austin. And with a gun pointed at her face, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And with that gun pointed at her face, she said, yes, I believe in the living God. Hallelujah. How could she do that? It was because of that kingly anointing, which took authority in the midst of a horrible situation. She was able to take authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was able, oh, to take authority. You don't have to have a gun pointed at your face to take authority. But wherever you go and whatever you face, if you're a child of the King, then you can receive that kingly anointing. It says, yeah, young man, when you go through the schools, some of you already graduated. Oh, but Brother Austin, you still got to go to school. Amen. But it's that kingly anointing. When you're in the midst of a bunch of heathens, you can have that kingly anointing and go with you from day to day. And you can take authority. And women and men, you can have that kingly anointing. It says, hey, I take the authority over every demon in hell. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to retreat. I don't have to run off. But I got to trust in the kingly anointing. Amen. You preachers better get ready. All I'm saying. The power is given to a king. A king can say, you be put to death, and you're going to be put to death. King can say, you go this, you go there, and you go there, and you're going to go there and there. He's got not only the authority, but he's got the power. David had the power. And us being child of Jesus Christ. Ooh. Amen. If he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we are given that kingly anointing. He said, all power in heaven and earth are given unto me, and he's given it unto us. Hallelujah. We're not a defeated foe. Yeah, we look small, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's a greater force on the inside. You got a greater power than anything in this world, but you gotta let that kingly anointing flow. He was anointed for the third time. Now he was proclaimed king over all of Israel. This wasn't a prophetic and a kingly anointing, but he was given the priestly anointing. We've got to have the prophetic anointing. We've got to have the kingly anointing. But we also have got to have the priestly anointing. How can I prove it? In the following chapter, chapter 6, you see David, he's already captured Zion, and he set up his tabernacle. And now he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the tabernacle. And he's putting on the ephod, and he's offering sacrifices. He's doing priestly duties. Let me tell you, hallelujah. And Jesus is mentioned as the high priest in the Bible. He is a king, and he's also a priest. And he's got that priestly anointing. Now the priests deal with the ministry. Oh, a reconciliation. Hallelujah. We are saved and covered by the blood of Jesus because of that priestly anointing. It makes us, it convicts us, and it makes us turn to Christ and give our heart to heal. I thank God that that priestly anointing convicted in my soul. And whenever we do wrong, Brother Danny, we are reminded because of that priestly anointing that says you don't have to still die in your sins. Oh, but you can be forgiven. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to the Pope, who can't do nothing for you. You don't have to go to different individuals. But all you got to do is go to Jesus and let him pour out that priestly anointing upon your soul, and it cleanses it, and it makes you holy once again. It cleans you up, and now you are once again cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The priestly anointing can be poured out upon you. It deals with intercession. In Joel chapter 2, the priests are commanded to weep between the porch and the altar. It deals with intercession. I hope you're getting this. Sometimes I can get too carried away. I'm feeling too good, but I want to get this across. We need all three anointings. We need that prophetic, the ministry of the word, the ministry of gifts. We need that kingly, the ministry of authority and of power. But we need that reconciliation. And we need to pray and intercede. Amen. I thought about how my grandfather, when he was getting ready to go into the Army or Navy, he wanted to go. I don't know if he was lost or what, but he wanted to go. And his mom, there's nothing wrong with the military, don't get me wrong, but his mom didn't want him to go. She probably didn't feel like it was his will, God's will, for him to go. So she prayed and prayed all night long. And the next day, he went for a checkup, for the physical, to get in. And he was denied. They found a heart murmur that they never have been able to find again since then. What did it? Oh, it was a praying mama that prayed all night and interceded for her son. How could she have prayed all night long? Is it because she felt that priestly anointing being poured out upon her and says, you can intercede, you can pray, you can talk to God, you can reach heaven, you can ring the prayer bells of heaven, you can get into with God. Hallelujah. You can touch the Lord. What a privilege. I'm overwhelmed right now. What a privilege that we have that we can talk to the Heavenly Father. Who the cherubim say, cry out, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to tell you, we've got a mighty privilege to talk to the one who created heaven and earth. We have the great privilege and honor to go into the prayer closet and get into heaven because of that priestly anointing being poured out upon us. Hallelujah. That priestly anointing deals the ministry of worship. I've got a message on the jailhouse church. Don't steal it. But Paul and Silas, what do you find them doing in that prison cell? Praying and worshiping. Two things that we do when we come to church. For a service to get anywhere, we've got to pray and we've got to worship. Worship is saying, our Lord, I adore you. It's paying adoration to the Heavenly Father. How could Paul and Silas, bound in that prison cell, be able to find the strength after being beaten? Be able to find the strength to pray and worship God. Because I believe they felt that priestly anointing come over their soul and say, Lord, I know I'm in a tough spot. Oh, God. But I adore you. I praise you, Lord. Church, can we lift our hands right now? And let's pay that adoration to God. I feel His mighty presence in this place. Lord, I magnify you. I worship you in the good times, in the bad. Seek out another way. I lift your name up. You are holy, holy, holy. Oh, I wonder how many of you feel that priestly anointing being poured out upon you and said, yeah, I can worship the living God. I can worship God Jehovah. Stand to your feet, church. Sister Leah, come on. Oh, God. If you want those three anointings, you better come around these altars tonight. If you want those three anointings, It's not just a hand me out. It's not just a handout to anybody. But it's for the ones that want it. And are holy. And are righteous. Come on, is that your prayer tonight? How would all three anointings be operating in my life, in my ministry, in my